Thank you, Madam Dean, for your kind invitation to be with you this morning at Christ Church Cathedral, and greetings from your friends across the Salish Sea in another Christ Church Cathedral in Vancouver. We occasionally get each other's mail or inquiries about weddings or that sort of thing, and it's always those kind of things that draw us soon together, but our affection for one another in the diocese, between the Diocese of New Westminster and the Diocese of British Columbia, is deep and rich, and it is always good to be on Vancouver Island, so thanks for the invitation. And no pressure from the dean in terms of, you know, see whether or not you like this and stay after. I hope those of you who are part of this 915 congregation would like to have a conversation about this liturgy, its meaning, its history, and its future. It'd be wonderful to have a couple hours together, and it's a privilege to be with you to facilitate that conversation as best I can. In a poem first published in 2008, American poet Mary Oliver expressed the zeitgeist of the time then, and although it's almost 10 years ago, I wonder if you hear in her words, as I do, a pretty accurate description of the times we live in now. It's called Of the Empire, and she writes these words. We will be known as a culture that feared death and adored power, that tried to vanquish insecurity for the few and cared little for the penury of the many. We will be known as a culture that taught and rewarded the amassing of things, that spoke little, if at all, about the quality of life for people, other people, for dogs, for rivers. All the world in our eyes, they will say, was a commodity. And they will say that this structure was held together politically, which it was. And they will say also that our politics was no more than an apparatus to accommodate the feelings of the heart, and that the heart in those days was small and hard and full of meanness. Too bleak? Is that too bleak for a beautiful Sunday morning? In the unrepeatable comments attributed this past week to the current U.S. president, perhaps it does go to the heart of a mean-spiritedness that seems to infect institutional life and is certainly reflected in the narrative unfolded daily through the media. We will be known as a culture that taught and rewarded the amassing of things, that spoke little, if at all, about the quality of life. The poet's words are kind of like a mirror, aren't they? Where we see some of our basest instincts exposed for what they are, how we are subject to the manipulation of mass consumerism with its politics and economics. So as we meet here this morning, how can we be strengthened in the countercultural narrative that is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because like the child Samuel, listening for the voice of God in the midst of a time of social change, or like St. Paul writing to Christians absorbed in the life of the Roman Empire, or like one of those first followers of Jesus Christ, confounded by his words and actions, all of us, I hope, are seeking to discern how it is we are to live in this time. And this is precisely what the season of Epiphany is all about. It's about the unfolding of a narrative that draws us into a new perspective grounded in the presence and power of God. It's about, to put it simply, giving space and paying attention. It was Eli, the priest, who guided the child Samuel to pay attention and to listen to how God was speaking to him. It was the apostle St. Paul who reminded the church in Corinth that their bodies were not the possession of the desires of their culture, but temples where God's Holy Spirit dwells. And it was Jesus Christ who invited Philip and Andrew and Peter and Nathanael to join with him in a journey to discover the ways of God, giving space in our lives, paying attention to how God continues to call people, resisting how culture seeks to define us, and opening our lives to a deeper and better truth. This is the invitation that comes to us each time we gather for Eucharist. God's presence dwells inside each one of us, as Psalm 139 so beautifully affirms. Anglican monk Christopher Bryant sharpens this insight about God's indwelling when he writes, "God is to be understood as moving us, not as an external force from without, but as a sustaining strength from within. God dwells in the center of every human person as an unseen, largely unknown strength and wisdom, moving them to be human, to grow and to expand their humanity to the utmost of its capacity." To expand our humanity to the utmost of its capacity. Jesus said to Nathanael, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the human one." Too often in our lives, we settle for so much less. We forget that we are God's beloved daughters and sons and simply go through the routines of our days, unsettled occasionally by the unfolding events, despairing of the ways of the world, and unable to discern the ways of God. May I invite you, as this new year begins in this season of Epiphany, to make more space in your life for God, to pay attention to that strength and wisdom that is within you, to expand your humanity to the utmost of its capacity. More than ever, the world needs people who know that there is more to life than consumerism, the amassing of goods. More than ever, the world needs to know that our bodies are sacred and that we can be agents of the love and mercy of God where we live, day by day. One last story. A friend of mine came to the Anglican Church a number of years ago from a background of evangelical Christianity. He came to love the liturgy and the music of our church and regarded each Sunday as he came forward to receive the Holy Communion to be like responding to an altar call, you know, like Billy Graham offers. But he thought of it in a good way. that it was another opportunity for him to commit his life to God. It was his gift to God. And then one Sunday, as he was coming forward to receive the Holy Communion and as he stood with his hands outstretched, he had what he described as a blinding flash of the obvious. Holy Communion wasn't simply about him giving God the commitment of his life. It was about God giving God's life to him. It was about God's commitment to him. My body, my blood, taking it inside himself. It was God's gift to him. And it changed the way he thought about everything. For the God who is that eternal force of strength and wisdom inviting us into our full humanity comes to us even this morning, gently under forms of bread and wine, empowering us to be who we most deeply and truly are, God's beloved daughters and sons. Let us pray. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, most merciful Redeemer, for the countless blessings and benefits you give. May we know you more dearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, this and every day. Amen.